I envy the people who were blessed to meet Jesus in person. Have you ever imagined, as I have, actually being with him? If we looked into that face, would we have picked up on something otherworldly, a look never seen before or since? Do you suppose we would, in fact, have recognized a heavenly uniqueness in him? Or would his identity as the Christ, the Son of God, have escaped us, as it did the Pharisees and so many others? Would we have dropped everything on a moment's notice to follow him when he called, deserting a lucrative post as Matthew the tax collector did, or more famously, jumping ship like the fishermen, first Andrew and Peter, then James and John? I've often thought how angry Father Zebedee must have been, standing on the deck of his boat, watching helplessly as his two sons inexplicably left the family business to become followers of a mysterious wandering preacher. Could we have been that impulsive, do you suppose? That courageous, that sure of Jesus' mission and our part in it? I wonder. No, you and I have never known the human Jesus. When we are at our spiritual best, we do sense the divine Christ, feel him in our hearts, see him in the kindness and caring of people who cross our paths, experience his infinite love, compassion, comfort, and strength when we are in pain of body or mind or spirit. Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, as Matthew tells us, did meet and converse with Jesus of Nazareth, as we just heard. Jesus, that enigmatic, peripatetic preacher-healer, and left that encounter a different person, changed in ways that became evident not long after. Let's eavesdrop on this life-transforming conversation, listening to Jesus' words, and then watch what Nicodemus does with what he learns from Jesus' lips. Perhaps those words will make a difference in our lives as well as his. We'll follow Nicodemus as he seeks out Jesus, moving stealthily in the darkness to avoid being seen by other Jews. Nicodemus is keenly aware that to talk to this controversial rabbi is too imprudent for a man in his exalted position to attempt in the light of day. So he comes to Jesus cautiously and yet eagerly, anxious to discover what sort of person this teacher who has come from God, as he thinks of him, might truly be. Their conversation, as John reports it, is brief but weighty. Its most important moment comes when Jesus tells Nicodemus he needs to be born from above in order to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, good Pharisee that he is, takes these words literally and asks Jesus how anyone could ever re-enter the womb and be born again. To help him understand, Jesus compares the Spirit bringing spiritual rebirth to the unfathomable blowing of the wind. I think this image is a challenging one, sounding almost out of context. What does the randomness of a breeze have to do with being born again? Puzzling over it myself, I take it to mean that the Spirit, the breath of God, can be felt anywhere, refreshing us into new life if only we will let it blow us toward the truth of God's inimitable love for us and all creation. And what did Nicodemus take away from this unsettling secret discussion as he hurried home through the shadows? Surely he must have mulled over Jesus' words as he went on his way, struggling to decode their murky meaning, laboring over the problem with the same concentration he would have devoted to a passage from the Torah. We, of course, have no way of knowing what conclusions Nicodemus reached that night, but it is indisputable that he eventually made some real sense of Jesus' strange talk of being reborn not in the flesh but in the Spirit. At some unknown moment, he grasped its import for his own life. For later in his gospel, John gives us two examples of how intertwined Nicodemus became with Jesus' fate. In the first instance, at a meeting of the chief priests, called with the intent of having the rabble-rouser Jesus at last arrested, Nicodemus comes to Jesus' defense, demanding Jesus' right to a hearing in which the truth about his activities could be determined fairly. What courage it must have taken for Nicodemus to try to stem the tide by then almost at full flood against the heretical rabbi from Nazareth. Such concern that justice be done to Jesus was surely an outgrowth of Nicodemus's burgeoning attraction to his teachings, a sympathy he would have had to be careful to hide behind his appeal for proper legal procedure. Even more surprisingly, perhaps, Nicodemus, his attempt at justice thwarted by Jesus' execution, becomes intimately involved in his burial. After Jesus is taken down from the cross on that terrible Friday and laid in a tomb belonging to another secret follower of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, it is Nicodemus, again under cover of darkness, who brings spices for embalming the body in great quantity. He personally supplies, according to John's account, about 100 pounds of myrrh mixed with aloes, a generous, costly, and dangerous gesture of love and devotion to Christ. The wind of the Spirit had obviously blown in Nicodemus's direction, bringing him the new life Jesus had promised. And what of the effect on us of Nicodemus's secret meeting with Jesus that enlightening dark night? The answer is, we too are called to new life through faith in Christ. In words that foretell his mortal fate, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." That is what we too need to hear, that Jesus has a way, and we are invited to follow by knowing him to be the Son of God, the Christ, and by fashioning our lives after his teaching and example. Believing in Jesus, we can be transformed, as Nicodemus was, into new persons. We too can let the wind of the Spirit blow where it will, recreating us as ardent proponents of love, peace, mercy, and justice to everyone in our lives. Although we do not have the opportunity to meet Jesus in person, we do know him. At one point in his ministry, he says, "I have already told you everything." I am so struck by these words. Through the gospel accounts, we hear all that we need to know to become followers of Jesus and his way. He spoke with such love and hope to Nicodemus and many others. He has spoken to us through them. We have no excuse then not to live by those words, and I leave them with you. I have already told you everything. May we have ears to hear and hearts to respond. Amen.